Welcome to Shuffling Deadcast, the ShufflingDead.com podcast. This is episode 29. I'm your host, Noobs, editor-in-chief of ShufflingDead.com, and joining me as always is Shuffling Deadcast co-host, Salsi.
Hello.
Salsi, welcome and welcome to episode 29.
Thank you.
I'm very curious to hear, do you have any listener or reader feedback for us?
Technically, no. But you will remember last week we went to, you went to Animathon.
That's right.
In Edmonton. And you put up a video and a post about the video. So we got some feedback from that. So I thought that would sort of tie in last week.
Excellent. I'm very curious to.
Give us something to talk about.
Very curious to hear what people have been saying.
So, Merge.
I think it's Merge.
Who went with you said, I freaking love that intro.
That's
that
for,
intro, of course, being.
D-Muser getting molested by furries, yes.
And Mork said hooray for being in the intro, so
that must be one of the furries.
Now, on YouTube, it wasn't quite so cordial. the Curzy Project, who's a long-time Shuffling Dead watcher, said if there's an Animathon in Niagara, I would so go. But I'm pretty sure there's one in Toronto.
I think there are anime conventions all over the place. There must be, yeah.
Someone said, if in hell, fur fags.
Yeah, that would be an anti-furry person. Of course, the internet famously has two large camps, one pro-furry, one anti-furry.
And if, of course, is a sound that furries make occasionally.
That's when they're molesting each other, yes.
There was a little, I wouldn't say a flame war, but a little exchange of words between a furry and a non-furry. The person rolling in the background commented.
We had some footage of these, at least one girl, if not more, just rolling down a pretty steep
one
incline.
One said, oh my god, you can hear me whilst rolling. And the other one said, you can see me and my friends in the background, around the 3-minute mark, which was when they were rolling.
Interesting. Well, rolling was a big component of Animathon this year.
I don't really know. Gun girl at the end, that you couldn't figure out what she was from.
Yeah.
That was shooting mechs, commented. Furry morgue again.
Okay.
Someone said needs more furry.
So there's the pro-furry faction there.
Yeah, and Gag75, who was part of the exchange of works, said, yay, manba fashion. I'm assuming that's the Gengaro stuff.
Okay.
But I have no idea.
Two of my favorites.
And furries, two of my favorites. And JudyCheese54 said, so what's Noobs hanging out to the girls? Booty call cards? Can you explain that first?
Well, I had some business cards printed out for me by an associate with the website.
Uh-huh.
And I was handing them out as I interviewed people, and many of them were very excited to receive the cards.
And then they can find your video, hopefully.
And hopefully they'll see you, and we've already had some people who showed up in the video.
Quantgirl55 must have got interviewed, because she said, hey, I got interviewed, yay.
I'm very curious to know. See, it's so exciting to me to have these internet people start talking to me because of Animathon.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know who she'd be.
Yeah, I don't really know.
But anyway, yeah. That was a lot of feedback still going on.
Yeah, I imagine we'll be getting people coming out of the woodwork.
Throughout the year.
Yeah, naming themselves in the video. So that's very exciting. I love that we're doing something that's really getting the community's involvement like that. It's really exciting to me.
And I know pretty soon because, of course, Apocalyptic Girl went to Comic-Con in
San
Diego.
Right. Yeah.
And soon, maybe in a week or two, we'll be putting up a video from that.
I hope so.
So that'll be more,
more con action.
People getting out of the basement. And,
yeah. The dungeon is not always in the dungeon.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a state of mind.
Well said, Salsi. Any other feedback this week?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, in that case, I suppose we'll head on into news.
Yes.
Everybody on the internet's already seen this one.
Yeah, they actually all have.
This is a story of a little boy over at, what zoo was it?
San Francisco. I've been there.
Not to be confused with the San Diego Zoo.
Well, it's kind of hard to confuse the two.
I was confused. San Francisco Zoo, a boy dropped his DS into the gorilla enclosure, and they
two of them started picking it up, playing with it, trying to figure out how it worked. And there's some great shots that were taken of this pretty sizable gorilla holding it like he's actually playing it, or yeah. She. And a little one looking on, also definitely. Curious.
Yeah. So, speaking of the San Francisco Zoo, remember a long time ago when one of them, like, jumped the barricade, or the ditch, or whatever they called?
Oh, yeah. Was it a gorilla?
No, it was a tiger.
Okay, yes.
I actually, like, was there, like, a week before that happened, and I took a picture of the tiger that may have been the one that
interesting.
Ate some people. I don't think it actually ate anybody.
So, I mean, obviously that story is amusing because it looks like Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong playing with a DS. Like, it's perfect Nintendo marketing. Nintendo needs to hire those two.
Wouldn't that be a bit of an insult to the human beings that play them? As opposed to the more advanced people playing, like, PSPs and
iPhones. Yeah. Good points, Elsie. It's the same reason they should never have children in their ads, I suppose.
What about 12-year-olds? 12-year-olds are the perfect demographic. Or, perfect... Because it's, like, cheesy, terrible. Like the 80s.
Yeah, that's not really the demographic they're going for in gaming anymore, though.
Now it should be.
We've got a lot of old people in ads. Alright, Celsi, as we all know, a little computer game came out not so long ago, and Weskimo felt compelled to post a news story about it, telling us that in just 48 hours of its release, StarCraft II sold 1.5 million copies. Shocked, appalled. What's your reaction?
I was expecting good results from Blizzard.
Yeah.
Of course, you hear, like, I'm not interested in StarCraft. That's something I'll never do unless I'm forced into it.
Right.
At, like, Nerd Olympics or something. So I'm not going to pick it up personally. But I know a lot of people played StarCraft 1, so how could anybody expect anything less?
Weskimo points out, quite interestingly, that the World of Warcraft expansions have sold about 2.5 million copies each in the first day of their releases. So StarCraft's actually behind that. How do you take that? Like, should we be worried that all genres are fading into the background as everyone just becomes addicted to MMOs?
No, that's definitely something that will never happen. There's definitely people out there who will never, ever do MMOs. And there's definitely people that have done, like, WoW and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's pretty much, like, I'm sure they'll never want to do another MMO again.
Yeah. They've tried.
Look at all the flaws. It's not their thing. Or it was their thing, but it's just, like, sometimes it's part of your life at a certain time of your life. And then you kind of, like, get a life and you can't do it anymore.
Salsa, you sound like you're speaking from personal experience.
No, I think
You've met people like that?
I've met a lot of people like that. And you read people like that on too, on, like, who've unaddicted themselves.
Mm-hmm. Alright, speaking of game sales, we also had July's NPD numbers come out for U.S. sales for video games. And this is pretty much the worst month in recent memory. And it's kind of breaking my heart a little bit.
Games rip my heart.
Well, you know what? I'm so emotional right now, I'll just ask you to handle this. What the hell happened?
Well, it looks to me, as someone who reads these every month, but doesn't really care about them, that Nintendo actually has less than 50% of the pie chart.
Yes.
And a large chunk of it is 360.
Yes. I can't believe it, folks. It's just disgusting. The 360 sold more than any other system, even the DS. And the Wii sold...
DS... DS and Wii sales are both going to be grinding to a halt soon. Wii, because everybody pretty much would have one by now, especially with the Black one coming out.
Yeah.
And DS, because everyone's like, hey, you know what, we might as well just wait 3 months. And
that's right, for 3DS.
Well, maybe more like 6 months.
Well, I mean, it's one thing for the DS to come to a halt, but I think the Wii could keep selling for a while here.
You think?
I'm going to just...
I think the PSP should just fall off the chart any
PSP
minute now.
The PSP is so irrelevant, it's unbelievable.
But when the PSP... Oh, this is a bit of a spoiler. Phone comes out, are you going to put it on this chart?
Well, it's really a matter of how the NPD group actually reports the sales.
Oh, I see. So it's up to them.
I'll put the numbers in the chart, provided they
provide the numbers.
Include them in their list.
I see.
It's up to them. So I don't know if we need to read out all the numbers here, but 360 sold 443,000 units. Just sick.
Next is the DS.
DS, almost 400,000.
Wii, next was the Wii.
253. PS3, 214. And PSP, 84,000. Pathetic showing once again from PSP.
What about software?
Software, also terrible. We had the 360 and PS3 versions taking the top two spots. The NCAA Football 11 for those two systems. Top two spots. And, in fact, of course, NPD is video games, not computer games. So they didn't include StarCraft II, which sold 721,000 units in the U.S. alone, which was the real secret number one spot.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, I've played StarCraft II now, and obviously it's quite good. It's quite enjoyable.
Are you picking it up?
No. I will wait, and eventually I'm sure it will have a war chest with the expansions included in, like, 5 years.
You'll have to upgrade your PC by then.
Well, by then, hopefully I will have done that, yes. But on the other hand, I really don't want to give Activision my money, because they're jerk faces.
You can give Blizzard your money. Blizzard's pretty cool.
I think the Blizzard's, ability to make money directly fuels Bobby Kotick's insane, world-dominating outlook.
You should give Blizzard money to make sure Bobby stays far, far away from there.
Yeah, I guess if they started losing money, he'd start really,
cracking out.
Yeah.
So how'd your predictions go over?
Well, I was thinking Pikmin 3 would have a secret stealth launch. That didn't happen. So, next month's predictions, are simply that Nintendo will be back on top, and I won't have to be so depressed.
And by on top, you mean at least 50%?
Well, at least one of their systems will take first place, and combined they'll take at least 50%.
So we were just talking about this. PSP phone.
Here's a big rumor that came out this week. All the tech sites were reporting it. Engadget claims, and they say it's a very reliable source. And let's remember here that Sony's infamously bad at keeping secrets, so this could be totally true. That Sony Ericsson is teaming up with Google to put together basically a PSP phone.
We know how good Google did with phones.
And, so it would be running Android 3.0. It would flip down just like the PSP Go does with the buttons down below, except instead of the nub, they would have a touchpad.
Nub.
Yes. And the specs would be about PS1, PSP level graphics. Supposedly, they've been showing off God of War and Little Big Planet games for the system/phone.
Well, I'm going to have to get my mom that, because she always wants to play Little Big Planet, but we don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah, but you can get her a PSP or a PS3 right now.
But she wants a smartphone.
Oh.
And I'm too poor to shell out for an iPhone for her.
Right on.
But this might combine the two.
Into one
glorious.
But, I mean, the rumor is strange to me. It seems, the way it was presented, that it almost sounds more like, kind of a system that's called PlayStation and has Sony games on it, but it almost doesn't seem like a proper follow-up to the PSP. Like, it doesn't really...
Why? It's centered around games. It just makes calls.
But it doesn't seem like a PSP2. The way the rumor was presented, it seemed more like an offshoot, and that, you know, if the software's not compatible, if the Sony game store isn't available on there, like PSN. I mean,
they'll
this could be.
They'll probably just have an app phone or app store.
That's what I'm saying. Would it be a new app store specific to that new system, or would it be bringing over all the PSP app stuff?
We'll have to wait and find out.
So I'm very curious. I mean, they could really be half-assing this one, but we'll find out.
Speaking about wasting your money on useless apps.
Yes.
Here's a big, big, not a very big story because it's just EVE Online, but. It has a big implication for many MMOs,
right.
And the thought of people who make the games opening their own, like, gold-selling stores in order to combat, like, black market gold selling.
Right.
And the consequences that it could cause.
Well, go ahead and tell us about this. Okay.
So basically, the people who make EVE Online, apparently they're called CCP, they started selling gold or whatever currency they have in their game for time codes, and you can convert them into in-game items and in-game cash exactly to destroy the black market.
Yes.
But they also made them totally transportable.
Right.
Like all the other items in the game, which means they could be stolen and destroyed even.
smooth move there, CCP. And
so here's the kicker.
Yeah, what happened?
You tell me. I can't say it because it's just too shocking.
there was a transport ship carrying over $1,000 worth of these in-game items that represent game time. Two players named Slick Dog and Victor Vegas decided they'd try to blow up a ship and loot it for these time codes because they had scanned the thing. They knew what it was carrying. They ended up blowing up the ship entirely. The cargo it was carrying was destroyed. They weren't able to recover the items. And so, guess what? Now nobody gets the $1,000+ worth of time code
items.
Yeah,
the great part, it wasn't just like a $50 loss or something.
Right.
$1,300 worth of real-time money.
Yep.
Just gone up in smoke because of two assholes. And that's a lot of profit for CCP.
Yeah, for providing no service whatsoever.
Yeah, so how do you feel about this?
I don't think it's fair to call these guys assholes because EVE is all about this kind of stuff. It's all warring factions and raiding ships.
Playing when you're not there.
I mean, this is like a fundamental part of the game now that you're always going to be at risk of having your
But they could have made them non-destroyable. I mean, especially things that cost real money. I mean, let them be stealable and you can protect them, but don't just make people buy $1,000, $1,300 more.
Well, in fact, when they first introduced these, you couldn't put them in ships and blow them up or anything like that. And when they did that, it seemed like a great way to combat this whole black market thing. But then they decided they were going to just turn them into regular items like everything else in the game. So, I mean, I think if they went back to doing it the way they were, it seems like
maybe
a great idea.
Maybe problem solves.
Yeah. So I don't know why they decided to do this unless they thought, great, now we'll be able to make money by selling people essentially nothing.
Exactly. And it's one thing if a black market sells things and they're destroyable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's your risk.
Right.
It seems a little shadier when it's the actual company doing it.
Yeah, that's right. It does seem like a bit of a scheme that they're putting together here.
Here's another video game story.
All right. Salsi, have you ever heard of Medal of Honor?
Vaguely.
Well, back in the day, this was EA's World War II shooter back when those were in vogue. But now that Modern Warfare is all the rage, EA has decided to revive Medal of Honor as a modern-day war shooter. So, the new game that's just going to be called Medal of Honor, it's coming out this year, allows you to play as American soldiers in Afghanistan, as well as members of the Taliban, which has got some wackos getting all angry, as they always like to do whenever something, you know, vaguely controversial happens in the world of video games.
Well, one person's not exactly a wacko. They're just a parent of a child. Man, soldier, who died in Afghanistan.
Well, he died in Iraq.
Iraq.
But
so I would say they have a little bit of input.
Well, why, though?
Mostly just because it's a little too soon.
You think so?
Probably.
So you think they brought this mother onto Fox News, who lost her son. She's complaining that this is like, pretty much exactly what Salsi said, too soon. And she makes a lot of weird comments, like she's like, oh, World War II games, you know.
That's a little strange.
Not so bad, because nobody's dying from that war anymore.
See, I think that's a little hypocritical.
But she also said war is not a game, period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's a little conflicting.
But maybe when she said World War whatever is alright, she just meant any war where my son didn't die was alright, too.
Right.
So it's a little strange.
Exactly. And,
but I wouldn't say she's overly wacko for having an opinion that these kind of games are.
Well, look, if that's her opinion, fine. But then, I mean, she's in this kind of coalition trying to get EA to not release this game because, you know, God forbid you can play as the Taliban. Like, that's the thing with her is she's not worried about the fact you can play as Americans shooting the Taliban. She just doesn't want you to be able to play as the Taliban shooting Americans.
Right, which makes sense for America. I mean, do people even realize there's a war going on right now?
No, they're like,
I think it's pretty insensitive to be releasing that as it's happening.
You think so?
I mean, if you were an American soldier, let's say,
because
you were poor and you like didn't have any other options,
right?
And you were patriotic and thought it'd be a good idea to fight for your country, would you be like, hell yeah?
They're making a video game about me?
I just think it seems a little strange.
You're probably right in the too soon sense, and making a war game about a war that's going on. I mean,
like,
you know,
it might
not be in the best taste on EA's part, but on the other hand, free speech, they're allowed to do whatever they want.
I'm just saying she's got a point. I'm saying it's a serious point.
You can't sit there and tell other people what to do. And, you know, this is like the typical
I just think it's a little insulting to American soldiers and Canadian soldiers.
Well,
we're still getting shipped out there.
I would be very curious to know what the soldiers themselves thought. You know, I'm sure that some of them play video games in their downtime. I'd be
Probably.
Very curious to find out if they think this is...
You should track one down and interview it.
It?
Him or her.
That's actually not a terrible idea, because I'm very curious about this.
Yeah, I am too.
Obviously a very controversial issue. And
but I think you'd need to find a soldier who like has been on the front lines, or not just
right.
like an engineer sitting in the...
Right. Somebody who's been on a tour of duty.
Yeah.
Might be an idea there, and if anything comes out of this story, we'll keep following it.
Yeah, interesting discussion, though, that it brings up. So if you guys have an opinion, you know the way to contact us is hosts@shufflingdead.com, hosts@shufflingdead.com.
So, Salsi,
yes.
You have famously never seen Star Wars.
I have seen it.
I get that wrong every time, don't I?
Yeah. The thing that you probably don't understand or...
Yes.
Forget is how much it has absolutely no appeal and is totally forgettable to me. So it's like I've never seen them.
Oh, okay.
But I actually have seen them.
Well, Mr. Neck Pouch himself, George Lucas.
Neck Pouch.
has announced that the entire sextology, all six live-action Star Wars movies, will be coming to Blu-ray in the fall of 2011. These are going to be the... you know, the extended editions we've all come to know and hate, with all the extra footage they crammed in there and all the little touch-ups they've done over the years. What's that?
Isn't that fun to see?
Well,
I love deleted scenes and crap in my DVDs.
Here's the thing. I'm all for including extras on your DVDs, including deleted scenes. But this is where he's actually taken the original films as everyone knew and loved them, and jammed extra things in there or cut things slightly differently to make it look different. And a lot of it really bugs a lot of fans. And
it's his creation.
I know. This is an ongoing debate in the nerd community whether or not he should be doing this. In any case, it's these revised editions that are going to be on the Blu-ray. But in addition to all the regular special features, there's also going to be deleted scenes that are not part of the extended editions that are... including never-before-seen footage from the original trilogy. And he showed a very brief clip of something that's... a scene that's been rumored about amongst nerds for all time. This is a part very early in Return of the Jedi where Luke Skywalker is actually putting his new green lightsaber together and hiding it inside R2-D2 for later. This is very famous, and when he showed the clip, we have, like, the shaky cam, and you can hear people just going nuts in the background. Like, there, honestly, nothing happens in the scene.
Well, where do you hide it? Up his robot VJJ?
R2-D2 has a lot of paneling and compartments. You could shove it in there somewhere. But,
I could see how it could be somewhat exciting to hide a lightsaber up somewhere.
Well, people already knew it was hidden in there because there's a scene where it shoots out of him later.
Sounds so naughty.
This is the part where he sticks it in him to begin with.
No wonder they got excited.
So I just thought, I mean, it's kind of cool to be getting footage of these movies that, you know, we've all become so familiar with, except for Salsi. But at the same time, I thought it was pretty funny to hear these nerds getting worked up about
basically nothing at the same time.
Well, you know what? Every week you're on here ranting and raving about the smallest thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And here you are dissing these losers.
It's all part of the hypocrisy that drives ShufflingDead.com. Here is some serious drama this week on the internet. Actually, this is not dramatic at all. And in fact, even I don't care that much.
Yeah, I didn't care when it came out, if it was real.
So, yeah. Have you ever heard of the Chive.com?
No.
Well,
is it like the Onion.com?
Not at all, but you would think, wouldn't you? It's one of these websites where they basically take people's pictures, probably frequently without their permission, post them up, get tons of hits, make a living doing it, make people like me very bitter. Anyway, they put together a little photo shoot with this pretty hot girl where she holds up a whiteboard with messages written on it about how much she hates her boss and then saying she's quitting. And then the story was that she sent this around to...
The stupid thing was like 30 fucking images you had to scroll down.
And supposedly she sent this around to the office, and it was like really funny. Oh, she really got her boss, whatever. I was not all that amused. In any case, like a day later, boom, we all find out it was fake anyways. This is the kind of thing that, you know, it got spread at a lot of offices, kind of thing people like to forward around, kind of thing I always roll my eyes at. Sulcy, what do you think of the internet's ability to make bullshit fake stories and then make money off of it?
Well, there must have been a power user on Digger, at least had a connection with someone, because it was on Front Page, though.
Well,
they just need one connection on every like social networking site, and boom, you've got it.
The Chive is a fairly well-trafficked site, so it did get some play from the techie sites, whoever follows them and reblogs their stuff. And
over
it makes me
and
angry.
Over.
Yes.
The funniest image that I saw relating to this was the girl in front of the whatever office in the with their whiteboard, and they had photoshopped on another drawing, and it was of a steward jumping off the airplane onto that like slide thing.
Right.
And it was just one panel. That's like all you needed.
Yeah, this is probably part of the reason this was so successful is because everybody's got that story in their minds right now, too. That guy, by the way, is a hero. This woman, just annoying. And the site, doubly so.
Okay, speaking of social media sites,
and
you
internet
found
drama.
Another boring piece. Some people get worked up about.
You're not too... Yeah, people really got angry about this one. So, dig.com. It turns out that there was a group of about 100 obsessed conservatives who would militantly target liberal slanted stories and posts from liberal submitters to Dig and just downvote them like crazy, kill liberal stories supposedly because that would allow more conservative stories to rise to the top. Anyways, it was found out about. These people are getting banned and dealt with. But, I mean, it's incredible to me that these 100 people include a lot of powerful Dig users. They had real, they were able to enact real power over what stories came up on Dig.com.
And that's like what power users are all about, and people are always angry about it, but...
People don't generally assume that they're having this, like, organized political movement about it either.
Well, it can't surprise you.
No, well, it surprises me that people waste their time with this kind of stuff. Like, I mean...
Dig is, like, famously liberally slanted, though.
Yeah. So, these
and
people
were bitter
about it? And
you can't talk U.S. politics or, like, anything... Basically, anything, anytime there's something that another person doesn't like, and they're American, they call the other person the opposite party of what they are part of, and that's like a huge insult.
Yeah. Conservatives are conservatives, and liberals are liberals. How dare they? I don't know, it's just interesting to me that people care so much about the internet, really. I mean, it's one thing to have a political opinion and get angry about the other side. But like, to actually actively censor
it.
The other
it's
side
like,
yeah,
like
that.
Dig is too left-centered. We're not getting properly represented.
Yeah.
We should work together and fix it.
Well, I'd love it if liberals and the general public would fight back against the conservatives, because, man, the conservatives just own the discourse everywhere that's not the internet.
Oh, you wouldn't worry about it. You can always quit and join Reddit.
All right, Salsi, I guess that wraps us up for news. And in that case, let's head into talking about everything else this week, starting with the topic that I'm really worked up about. If you think I've gotten angry on the show before, you're in for a surprise, folks. So we're kicking this discussion off with Shameful Human of the Week, and I'm hoping that'll lead us into a good several minutes of angry ranting. Shameful Humans this week are Sergey Brin and Lawrence Page, who of course are the co-founders of Google. Infamously, you know, Google is everywhere on the internet. They're such a huge part of it. I'm sure the biggest site in the world, by far even. And obviously what Google does is massively important to the whole tech world. And in the debate over net neutrality that's going on in the United States with regards to a lot of companies being in opposition to net neutrality, and then the FCC trying to impose it, finding out they don't really have the authority to impose it.
Maybe you should explain what net neutrality is for those people that are blissfully ignorant.
Okay, so right now, we more or less have what's called net neutrality, which is that your internet service provider doesn't discriminate the information that you're receiving over your connection. So you get whatever packets from one site just as quickly as you do from another site, assuming their servers are equally fast. They're not throttling down your use of P2P services. They're not trying to, you know, let you get to certain websites faster than other sites.
Especially by paying more money.
Right, exactly. Or trying to shut down their competition. And anyways, the debate in the United States has been basically everybody on the anti-net neutrality side, because corporations stand to benefit quite a bit from this, and Google on the other side, basically lobbying in favor of net neutrality. And this week, Google announced, along with Verizon, that they had struck a quote-unquote compromise, where the wired internet would more or less stay neutral, but for at least temporarily, the wireless internet would allow for total non-neutrality. ISPs could throttle and control traffic however they want. Basically, Google surrendered to the forces of evil, succumbing to corporatism, which, by the way, owns the United States. Salsi?
Yes?
What do you take away from this story in particular?
I don't know. Why don't you start us out?
Do you feel like Google's betrayed you at all?
Well, they are affecting the U.S. more than Canada. So, I mean, there are going to be countries where net neutrality exists, and Google will deal with them outside of the United States.
Yeah. Here in Canada...
Do you think it has direct implications here in Canada?
It has implications for everywhere. And here's why. Now, in Canada, we do have a net neutrality laws. They're maybe not as strong as I would like, but we do have them. Having said that, you know, we get decent traffic from Canada and other English-speaking countries, but we get far more from the United States. And if this, if ISPs are allowed to control traffic however they want, mark my words, little sites like ours are going to be throttled down to nothing, and you in the United States will no longer be able to receive any of the content we produce. This is...
Now you're starting to sound like they're going to turn into China.
Well,
look... Do you think it's going to be that drastic, or maybe, like, at the very worst, people will pay a dollar to get to your site faster? Like, 20 seconds faster than...
Here is the dystopic future which I'm envisioning for the wireless internet, if the Google-Verizon deal is, in fact, what gets turned into law.
Do they mean cell phone? I'm assuming they mean cell
phone. Yeah, it's like 3G, 4G, whatever that stuff is. The wireless internet.
Okay.
You shoot into your mobile devices. Okay, here's what's going to happen in a few years, let me tell you, folks. or at least this is my conspiracy theory. We're going to have big media conglomerates pairing up with ISPs making deals on their content. So let's say Google, along with YouTube, which they own, of course, teams up with Verizon. And all of a sudden, Google and YouTube load great, but Hulu and Bing don't load at all for you.
Or you being a person in the States,
right,
carried by Verizon.
Right, exactly. And then if you go to a different carrier, all of a sudden you got Bing and Facebook, but you don't have those other sites.
But this is a very U.S.-centric problem as well, because, I mean, you've got 5 companies to choose from.
Right.
Whereas in China or Europe, maybe you've got, like, 30 countries to choose from, so if someone's fucking with you, you just switch to a different carrier.
Yeah, that's
so
a very good
point. So maybe
it'll
just provoke more...
Well,
very doubtful, but...
Here's the thing, is there are actually anti-competition laws when it comes to internet service providers.
But are they outdated laws?
Well, they're outdated in my opinion, but they are enforced. Basically, at some point, these carriers convinced the politicians, and by convinced, I mean,
like,
funneled money to their campaigns.
The entire U.S., like, golden rule, though, is make competition by having, like, conglomerates that own all the competition.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why that's surprising.
Well, the way it works is basically, in most areas, there is zero competition. They have rights to keep their own little territories, and you don't really get a choice of who you go through.
Yeah.
Or may you get one choice, and they're equally bad, so it's irrelevant anyways. There's no decent competition over these things. So you know these corporations are going to team up with each other, screw you on what you can see, try to force you to only accept the content which either you pay extra for or which their corporate buddies have teamed up with them to provide you with, and you're no longer able to access the free and open internet where you can look at anything you want. All of a sudden, you're limited to big sites only, big services only, no possibly illegal services, no small blogs like mine.
There's always going to be small blogs, sorry.
They'll exist, but will you be able to access them?
I'm sure.
Like, you don't know if that's going to be the case, though. This is the kind of power that no net neutrality allows companies to do. They could shut us out from our American listeners.
That'd be cool.
So,
we're getting pretty worked up now.
Net neutrality. We're getting into the main topic here.
Oh, we just hit there?
Oh, we're,
I thought we were almost over
here. We're not even close to being done. Okay, so...
Isn't it a U.S.-centric problem, though?
It is. It's a much bigger problem there than it is here and in other countries. But as I've already said, what they decide affects the whole world and our ability...
It affects the U.S. citizens. So, I mean, think of all the people from China that you could be getting traffic from. I mean, how come you're not crying over that?
Because most people in China don't speak English.
So?
Look, we
were... Google Translate. I'm sorry, that was Alta Vista or something.
We run a site which is primarily about pop culture.
Okay, but I'm not just talking about your site, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole internet is affected by the how many billion of people in China that can't get...
Right. Censored.
Access anywhere.
Yeah. I know. But look, the U.S. is probably our biggest market.
Right now.
Right now. And that could be seriously diminished by these kinds of laws. So that's why I'm so worried about it. And also because, as someone who, you know, believes in free speech, I'm concerned about the rights of Americans as well, and the quality of access that they have to this great thing that we've come to know as the internet.
Well, at least they'll have healthcare now.
That was a bad, watered-down bill, which only serves to funnel more money into private insurance companies. Let me tell you, folks...
Let's not talk about healthcare.
Corporations own the United States. 100%. They own the politicians.
You know why?
Because they fund their campaigns.
Yeah, because you can't be a normal person and be a politician. You cannot be less than, like, a millionaire to be a politician. It makes no sense. But are we almost done with this topic?
Let me rant just a little bit
more.
Okay. I read this great piece by Al Franken. I can't remember if he's a senator or a congressperson in the United States. I think he's a senator. And he wrote this great op-ed on CNN.com talking about how important net neutrality is.
It's a great article explaining the issue, explaining why it's such a big deal to Americans. And then I read the idiot responding to him in the comments section. And you know what? Most of them were calling him a liberal, saying what he was doing was socialist, communist, that there should be no regulations on corporations, that they should just be allowed to do whatever the fuck they want, because that's what freedom really is. So basically, corporations have done such a good job of brainwashing Americans that they are now specifically in favor of corporate interests, even when it harms their own interests. I mean, this is so indicative of what a nightmare country the United States has turned into. It is owned by these corporations. The politicians are corporatists who act only in the favor of the corporations who fund them.
There's some people protesting at Google.
100 people showed up to that protest. There should be riots in the streets, folks. I'm telling you right now, if we have even one American listener, write letters, run protests, go crazy. Because we need you right now. This is the human rights issue of your generation. Act now. Because in a few years, you might not even have the internet that we know today. Okay.
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 I have something good to say about net neutrality.
Yeah. Okay.
If you paid for tier service, and you're really into first-person shooters, or MMORPGs, you can have access to faster internet, which means all the loser poor people will have slower ping to the server.
Yes.
And then you can do better headshots, or you can get them on first when it pops.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's one of the supposed benefits that could be allowed.
But that's just assuming, like, tiered internet and no other, like, right, exactly. Okay, we're almost done here.
Oh, God.
What?
I'm feeling a little bit worked up, Celsi. I'll try to rein it in here. Thank you for allowing me that rant.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasn't more active in it, but you just get so worked up.
Whew.
I don't know what to do with myself.
All right, Celsi, what's next?
So, as everybody knows, we've been pumping out 2 videos a week.
Yep.
So, we've done a definitive SNES video, which you can sum up for us succinctly.
Right on. This week we covered Mario Paint. Which, this was a bit of a tough one for me to write, because I think it definitely belongs on the list, but quite honestly, there's not a lot to talk about, because it's really a creative tool, and the best description I have for it is, you know, open up MS Paint, screw around with it, and that's Mario Paint. But they had the mouse in there, that was so important, as well as they have the music feature, which also is a lot of creativity on the internet as well. So, I mean, it definitely deserves a spot, but, well, there's not a lot to say about the game either.
Yeah, so that was number 48. Are you going to give us a spoiler for your next one, or are they going to have to wait?
Let me think. The next game has something to do with a story we talked about this week on the show.
Hmm. And it's got Super in the title.
That's right.
How Japanese. You should rename your site supershufflingdead.com.
That's a good idea, actually.
And you did another video. This, of course, means something else we talked about this week.
This was our Animathon trip with all those wild comments. So definitely check that out, because we had awesome cosplayers. It was a hell of an experience. We kind of teased it for you on last week's podcast, and it's up now. Check it out. It's awesome. It's just wild, all the stuff.
And are you going to have another spoiler for your next week's video? Your next, like, regular SDGR?
Let's just say it has something about questing for dragons.
That's a pretty big spoiler.
A little less vague than the other spoiler. All right, Celsi, anything else on the site this week?
I just want to mention one other news story that we haven't covered.
Okay.
That was alerted to me by someone on Facebook. And I don't know if you know Tila Tequila.
She's bisexual.
And she's in Playboy.
Yeah, and she became famous through MySpace, as a matter
of fact. Right, but like a lot of YouTuber...
Internetters.
People. She also sings.
Yeah, badly.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Insane Clown Posse.
Unfortunately, I'm familiar with them somewhat, and their fans more so.
Yeah, what do they call their fans?
They're called Juggalos.
Yeah, they, Juggalos.
They paint their faces, they get angry, and they tend to be pretty anti women as well.
Well, Tila was up on the stage performing at a festival that was organized for fans of the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, Juggalos.
And they got a little angry at her and threw things and cut her with the rocks and glasses. And
yeah, pretty wild here.
And then you know what she did to, like, calm them down?
Did it have something to do with her fake breasts?
Yeah, she flashed them. And apparently that just made them angry.
I don't understand. Why would you get angrier about that?
So, then they, like, chased her to her trailer and broke her SUV windows and,
pretty wild. Yeah.
So that should be your Internetter of the Week this week.
I think she deserves a write-up. Well, I'm still writing on Pancoon, and then I'll write about Taylor.
Oh, well, that's gonna take forever.
Yes, Salsi.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, as much as I hate Tila Tequila, and she does seem like quite a slimeball, it's pretty harsh. You can't throw things at people like that.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of other throwing things and internet celebrities.
Yes.
Justin Bieber had a water bottle thrown at him.
Right on.
Yeah. I don't think he got cut or anything, but...
No, it just bonked him on the head.
Fans probably chased him.
There's another potential internetter. He's very active on the Twitter. Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah.
Bieber.
Well, he got famous because of YouTube.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah. He is a straight-up internetter.
Yeah. And I'm sure everyone else has seen it, but one more internetter of last week.
Yeah.
Antoine Dotson, did we talk about
Antoine.
Him?
I don't think we really did, actually.
What is the channel? There's some people that auto-tune the news.
Well, yeah, they have their videos show up on a couple different channels. But if you go over to the Barely Political channel on YouTube, they'll have a link on their channel over to these guys.
Yeah, these guys are S-C-H-M-O-Y-O-H-O, and they're like a group of four siblings, I guess.
Well, I don't think they're all related, that like the girl might be dating one of them or something.
Oh, but close enough. They're like the Osbournes.
Yep.
And they find funny things to autotune, so it's often related to politics, which is something that we know you at least appreciate.
Yes.
And then it's set to beautiful music.
Yeah, and they did this Bed Intruder song, which is just the... I mean, most of the time when they're auto-tuning the news, it's a bit of a stretch to call it music. But this guy is pretty much singing already, so putting it to music is perfect.
Yeah.
It's like a good... It's a proper good song.
One of the guys at work, in fact, he doesn't believe that it was, like, actually something that happened. He thought it was all a setup so that, like, they could make the song or whatever.
Well, it's incredible.
It's incredible,
And, yeah, they did an extended... edition, and now it's on iTunes.
Yeah, now Antoine Dodson, or whatever, has his own YouTube channel.
And he gets half the proceeds from the sales of the iTunes
song. Isn't that a happy story?
So, I mean, that's a great story. Like, one day you're getting raped in the projects, next day you're an internet superstar.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure you've seen that video, but... Go listen to it again.
We should post these up on the site, shouldn't we?
You should. I was going to make him Internetter of the Week, but I got lazy.
That's two you owe me now.
Well, I'm not going to do it now. It's too late. This guy's old news.
Ugh.
So, that's, I think, all the random crap I had to say this week.
Okay.
I don't know if I told you, but I finally got to the Kanto side of Pokemon.
Right on.
We were talking about that before. So...
And you got yourself a new ice Pokemon.
I got a... Glaceon or whatever.
Glaceon, that's right.
Yeah, thanks. I couldn't get it on my version, so someone had to trade it to me, so I had a friend that did that.
How generous of that person.
That was alright. And, yeah, so I'm going to finish that up, and then soon I'll beat the entire game.
Wow, you're going to go 100%, are you?
100%. I'm not going to catch everything, though.
Okay. But you're going to do all the badges on the other side, and I think you actually battle
For
Ash.
Sure.
Pretty cool. Okay.
What about you?
Gaming-wise, I'm kind of stuck in Pokemon Platinum. Still haven't beaten it. And I've been playing Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition, which I'm enjoying, but...
With your gun?
Well, not with the gun, but just with the Wii remote. Still pointing. And other than that, just trying to find time to play Super Nintendo games so I can talk about them on the site, because that's a lot of work. spoiler alert, sometime in the future we're covering Aladdin for Super Nintendo.
I just picked that up.
So
God, can you guys remember that? Like, 1993, I bet.
Great movie and a great licensed game. So I think that pretty much wraps us up for this week on Shuffling Deadcast, Salsi.
I agree, listen to me.
So, I just want to let everyone know that You can learn more about everything you've heard today by visiting shufflingdead.com. Check out our show notes. Check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/shufflingdead. See our videos on YouTube at youtube.com/marnax. That's M-A-R-N-A-X. And a little Facebook update here. Last week, how many fans did we have? 73?
76, maybe?
And we are still shooting up like crazy. We're at 86 right now. 86, guys. We're 14 away from the 100 goal mark.
Amazing.
So, look, I appreciate if you're a fan on Facebook right now, but if you could do us a favor, invite all your friends, that would really help us out.
Yeah, it's really easy. All you do is go to the theme, the Facebook page, and then on the side you can say suggest a friend, and then you just pick the people you think would be interested. And it harasses them into joining.
Yeah, and then I feel better about myself. So why would you not? And finally,
for greater net neutrality justice.
Exactly. If you support net neutrality. Yeah. Okay. Finally, contact Salsi and I at hosts@shufflingdead.com. That's HOSTS at shufflingdead.com. And we will totally read your email on the air. We'll chat about questions you have. We'll get angry along with you. Whatever you want, send it our way.
Yeah, ask us some personal questions or something.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would totally answer those. Possibly truthfully. And thanks for listening.